Hello, welcome to the Patient Activation Network podcast. I'm your host, Matt Cavallo, and we're here live at the 2017 Plaintree International Conference on Patient-Centered Care. I'm here with Alan Manning, the Executive Vice President of Plaintree. Thank you very much for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Well, and we're happy to have you. Before we get started, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. I'm relatively new to healthcare. I've been working in healthcare going on 7 years now. I've been working with Plaintree. prior to that, I worked in higher education. So I spent 15 years doing benchmarking of colleges' performance. Reason I switched careers is 9 years ago this month, actually, my firstborn daughter was died of a congenital heart defect. So in May 19th, 2008, my firstborn daughter was born, happiest day of my life, excited about what was going to come next. And 2 days later, when we were getting ready for discharge to take Katie home, I got word that there was something wrong with her heart, and she got moved from our local community hospital to a large pediatric medical center, where at 4 days old, she had her first open heart surgery. Over the next 5.5 months, she had 5 open heart surgeries, 4 heart catheterizations, before she died in November 2008. During that process, it was, you know, we had many great things. We had some incredible caregivers, incredible nurses, doctors, people caring for my daughter. But we also got to see, I always joke, we got to see the good, the bad, and the ugly of the healthcare system. And I realized that the quality of my daughter's care was completely contingent upon the next nurse who was on duty. So I would ask every night, who's on next? And if they said the right names, like if they said Sarah or Wendy or Aaron or Lauren, I knew that we were in good hands. If they said some other names, I never named the bad ones, right? If they said some other names, I would say to my wife, like, we got to stay up all night tonight. And it was that inconsistency time over time that kind of alerted me that there was some issues in healthcare. And then what even made it more noticeable to me was my wife and I were really lucky. You know, our outcome wasn't what we wanted. Obviously, it was a terrible thing to happen. But what was really noticeable to me is we looked and sounded like the doctors and nurses. They became our friends. Many of them still are today. But I noticed during that process that there was many other people who didn't have that connection. And one story I tell the folks all the time is there was one day that they performed emergency open heart surgery in my daughter's room because they couldn't stabilize her to bring her down to the surgical suite. So my wife and I stood outside the window and watched them operate on Katie. And when they were done with that scenario, they came out, we're debriefing, and the girl in the next room coded, and they went running off into that room. And a mother came out crying, screaming, and upset. And my wife and I felt kind of some strength in that moment and went over and kind of consoled this other mother. And while healthcare professionals believe in HIPAA, anybody who's been in a hospital knows a HIPAA's a joke. I mean, there's nothing else to do. We know each other's business, you know. So I went over to this mother and said, I think your daughter has the same thing my daughter has. Does your daughter have HLHS also? And she looked at me and said, no, my daughter has hypoplastic left heart syndrome, which is HLHS for those who couldn't figure it out. And, you know, respectfully, I said, oh, I think that's the same thing. But it really struck me between the eyes that this was a mother of a 7-month-old child who didn't know that hypoplastic left heart syndrome was HLHS. So I mean, she could never have read any document, could never have really understood her daughter's condition in a deep way. And you wonder what chances that mother have, but also what chances that child have. And I left that engagement and interaction and said, I kind of want to get involved in healthcare and I want to make a difference. So from there, I joined a PFAC, a Patient Family Advisory Council. From there, my wife and I started a nonprofit that we run on nights and weekends called Kisses from Katie, where we help critically ill kids, their families, and those dedicated to helping them. But ultimately, I'm a systems guy. So while that's really good and I love the work we do, I also found this organization called Plaintree, where I am today, obviously. And I was actually on a national search looking for a company. And I was thinking about going to a think tank in D.C. or someone in Chicago. And I found Plaintree, which happened to be 7 miles from my house on back roads, was there the whole time. And I've been there over 6 years now.
It's amazing how, you know, sometimes you're searching for something that's in your own backyard. For the folks listening back at home that might not know what Plaintree is or what they do, could you give us a little background information?
Sure. Plaintree is a patient-centered care organization that was started by a patient back in 1978. So I always joke that we were doing patient and person-centered care long before it was hip or cool or long before HCAPs. And we were started by an amazing lady who had a negative healthcare experience. And she left that experience and said, I want to make a difference in healthcare. And so personally, I feel a large affinity to what she does, because there's many of us who come at this work from that same perspective. And what's so staggering to me about Angie's story, our founder, is that she's still alive and well today, almost 40 years later. But she left that experience saying it needs to be better, and she was not satisfied. I don't think she had any vision back in 1978 that in 2017 we'd be on a podcast with 700 people at a conference, and we'd be working in 24 countries and 700 organizations around the world. And that's what we do today. Today we work with organizations across the continuum of care in healthcare to really help them harness the patient voice and the staff voice to deliver higher quality care. And I think that's really the most important thing to note about patient-centered care, is it's about driving improved quality. I think, unfortunately, sometimes people think it's about puppies, clowns, and unicorns, you know, and all the nice things. And those are signature moments that are really important. But fundamentally, patients care most about quality. Right? Are we taking good care of you? Are we giving you access to information? Are we including you in the care process? And then fundamentally, are we activating you to take ownership over your care? And so that's really what we do. We partner with organizations to create that construct and help them along that journey.
We're talking to Alan Manning, the Executive Vice President of Plaintree. I hear a lot at this conference. This conference is great, by the
Thank
way.
You.
It's such a great venue, such great energy and stories. But I hear a lot of these organizations saying they're Plaintree certified. What does that mean to maybe me as a hospital?
Sure. So about 10 years ago, we've been around for about 40 years, and many folks are on what they call the Plaintree journey. So they've been kind of on this quest to become more patient-centered. And about 10 years ago, many of our sites came to us and said, we feel a little bit like Christopher Columbus because we're on this journey, but we don't know where we're coming from, we don't know where we're going. So we worked with a lot of the best sites around the world to figure out, how do you operationalize this philosophy? How do you operationalize this belief system that people have? And back then we came up with 64 designation criteria, so you can literally look at a list and say, are we doing these things? So it gives you a framework and a roadmap to know if you're achieving success. We actually just recently retooled it, so we have 26 criteria, 5 drivers that people can look at and say, if we're doing these things, we know in truth and in fact, we're actually patient-centered. Because it's an easy thing to say. It's an easy thing, oh, we're a patient-centered organization. We let patients in the door kind of thing. But to be truly patient-centered is, how do you engage patients in the care process? How do you engage their families? And there's a series of technical things you have to do to make sure you're achieving that. So the sites that are here, and there's about 140 of them around the world now, who are called Plaintree designated or Plaintree certified sites, have satisfied all of those criteria. So as a consumer of healthcare, those are the kind of sites you want to look to. Those are sites that when you go there, feel a little bit different. Those are sites that when you go there, your voice is heard a little bit differently. You're included differently in the care process. And everybody who's ever toured one of our designated sites comes up afterwards and says, as soon as you walk through the doors, it feels a little bit different. And so a lot of folks say, you can't even measure it. And we say, you can measure it. It's called a designation criteria. But it is certainly a kind of a euphoric feel to those organizations, and one that we're really proud of.
It comes from some of the Plaintree coordinators that are here. They've shared with me stories of similar experiences, the before and the after. Do you have any examples of maybe a place, without naming names, how it was before and then how it changed after?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's endless examples, right? So I can think of many. But one in particular stands out to me as an organization that we worked with. And when we started working with them on year one, their patient satisfaction and their staff satisfaction were both about 30 or 40%. So for those of you who are not data folks or analytical folks, that is not a place you wanted to work. It is not a place you wanted to receive care. Everybody in the building was unhappy. And so we partnered with them to help improve the patient experience and the staff experience simultaneously. Because a large piece of the Plaintree philosophy is, if you want to be patient-centered, you first need to be staff-centered. Because if you really want to create a culture that supports and empowers patients, we have to support and empower our staff. And so this organization, over a 6-8 year journey with us, has gone from a 30-40% level of patient and staff satisfaction to both of those scores now living consistently at the 90th percentile.
Wow.
And so on a graphic, it looks lovely, right? It's one every year, it's step function increase, it's rainbows and butterflies, and everything's good. The reality is, it was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to make that happen. It's a lot of second guessing. It's a lot of iteration, trying things, failing at things, and trying them again, but always staying true to the North Star of what's best for our patients and how do we include them in that decision making. So what's amazing about this organization I'm speaking about and many of our other designated sites is that it's about the patient voice. It's about including the patient and not being paternalistic or maternalistic, saying, oh, we know what's best for our patients. It's actually being raw, authentic, and vulnerable and saying, help us help you. And that's not something historically healthcare has been built around or has been accustomed to. I mean, in truth, we were built to be omnipotent. We need to know all the answers. We need to take care of you. We need to fix you. And this really starts to shift that paradigm a little bit and says, you know, we have a deep belief at Plaintree that every patient, we have badges actually for patients that I'm an expert about me. You know, you're an expert about the medical process. I'm an expert about me. And sites who really embrace that have far better clinical outcomes, but also have far better and far higher levels of patient satisfaction.
And that's great information. As kind of a follow-up to that, I really want to change. I'm going through similar situations. I've got low satisfaction. I've got low staff retention. Where do I start? Where do I go? How do I get there?
Sounds like a personal problem for you. You seem like a really nice guy.
It is true, I know.
You know, I think that's a great question. I think so many folks struggle about where to go first, right? What's the first step that we take? And I think for us, many organizations start with how can we do, as I call it, the cherry on top. So they start with these kind of signature moment type of things. And I think that's really problematic. So a lot of people start with kind of a piano in the lobby, or they start with banana bread baking programs and those kinds of things that you think patients will like. I always say start with two fundamental pieces. One is, how can we really start to hear our staff voice? Because Lean and Six Sigma figured this out back in the 70s. If we ask our staff what's really happening at the unit level, we get a lot of great answers and start making those fixes for them. And then the second way is, how do we really start becoming more vulnerable and hearing the patient voice? But ultimately, both of those steps are kind of antecedent. So hearing the voice is great, but what do we do with it? And I say the first couple of things you want to do is really block and tackle and fix some primary systems. So it's too easy to start with the high kind of fluff things, but how are we going to fix throughput? How are we going to fix discharge planning? Because for all the other things that you do, if I'm waiting for 8 hours or 10 hours to go home, I'm not going to be a satisfied patient. If I'm waiting in your ED for 24 hours, I'm not going to be a satisfied patient. So it doesn't matter if you have a wonderful rain, waterfall in the lobby, or if you give me banana bread on the way home. It's blocking and tackling around those basic fundamental components that really make patients happy. So I think meeting your staff to talk about that, meeting your patients to talk about that, putting those two things together is where the journey really starts to build some pace.
And for those listening at home, if this is the first time they're hearing about Plaintree, where can they go to learn more about your organization?
Absolutely. Our website, www.plaintree.org. You can follow us at Twitter at Plaintree, or you can feel free to call our offices at any time. I'm happy to give out our phone number. I'm sure we'll be inundated with folks, but for those who don't like going through the internet, which some do, give us a call at our main office, which is 203-732-1365. And we'd be happy to chat with you more. As a nonprofit, our real goal is not to try and sell you or make you become a Plaintree. Our goal is to help you on your patient-centered journey. For some folks, that's membership, where we partner with you in depth over multiple years. For other folks, it could just be a speaking engagement or partnership around a discrete effort. And we're just happy to meet you where you are and try and help you on that process.
And we really appreciate what you do. As we start to get to a close here, do you have any closing thoughts that you want to share with the audience?
Sure. Actually, there's two things that I always love to close with. The first one is understand that this is always a journey. So it doesn't matter how good you are or how far away you are. If we can be better tomorrow, our patients benefit. So you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get it right every time. And you also shouldn't believe we're too far away from good to start trying. So wherever you are, whatever resources you have, you can start on this journey immediately. So I think that's the first thing that's most important. And the second thing is, a concept around hope that I believe in deeply. I think one of the biggest challenges we face in healthcare at the moment is there's an inherent lack of hope. All we talk about is the challenges in the healthcare system and insurance here in the United States. And then on the clinician side, we talk about burnout and fatigue and all these challenges. And for me, I have a deep belief that everybody who got involved in healthcare did so because they want to take care of patients. Nobody did it to get rich. If they did, they would have gone into a different industry. It doesn't mean we always do it right, though. So I think what we have to do is really work with our staff to restore hope. And I think that's something that Plaintree deeply believes in, a lot of our successful sites believe in. But hope is something that I think we've kind of value engineered out of our processes too much. And I tell people all the time in relation to my daughter's story that when my daughter was born, I hoped that she changed the world. So for any parents out there, I'm sure you feel the same way. When your kids are born, you hope that they're going to change the world. And I'm not talking about a doctor or a lawyer. I'm talking about Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, Mary Robinson, the first female president of Ireland kind of thing. And when she got sick, I hoped they'd make her better. When she got really sick, I hoped they'd figure out a way to take her out of pain. And when she got really, really, really sick, I hope she could be at peace. And now that she's dead, I hope that she's in a better place. So for me, hope is not and was not ever lost, but it adjusts to the reality in front of us. And I think so many times from an organizational standpoint, we lose hope because we keep striving for 5 stars or for 1 star or for 5 stars or never satisfied with it. And so for me, hope is looking at the reality in front of us and saying, how can we take that next step? How can we be better tomorrow? And understand that the people around us is what makes us great. And there's so many wonderful people working in healthcare, but we have to harness that energy. And I think too often we quell that in people.
So Alan, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your personal story. You know, it's hearing about your daughter is just very courageous and inspiring. Thank you for all the good you do for the world. We appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
And thank all of you for listening in. This has been the Patient Activation Network podcast. He's Alan Manning, Executive Vice President of Plaintree. I'm Matt Cavallo, the host. We look forward to bringing you another personal inspiring story soon from the 2017 Plaintree International Conference for Patient-Centered Care. Thanks, guys.